Welcome to the Round 15 Supercoach Coach Podcast. I'm Marcus, and this week we're joined again by FB Donkey.
G'day, mate. Very happy to be on the show this week.
Yep, and unfortunately, despite the high-scoring week, I'm not in the same high spirits, so there's no guest this week. We'll just get cracking on in. Go ahead, Mark. You had a monster week, and you brought in Gaz. I'll just let you go for it. Go for it, Mark.
Yeah. Dunny did want to be on the show this week because he did beat me by about 50 points, I think, but I scored 26-31. It was pretty big. Not massive, but pretty big. I moved up to 874 in the ranks. So finally moved into the top 1,000. I'm sort of, slowly been creeping up since I was, I think, ranked 22,000 in round 3. Just kept trading until I made the top 1,000. I didn't follow through with both my trades last week. I probably should have. I did do the Cripps to Ablett one, which turned out a ripper, and I had Ablett as vice-captain, so even better. 153. Thank you, Gary Ablett. Great to have him back and support him. I didn't do Wallace to Rockcliffe. It would have got me 40-odd points this week, but I was just a bit unsure what was happening with Harley Bennell, and I didn't want to trade out a fit Wallace and keep Harley Bennell when he may not have been coming back soon. So, unfortunately, I don't necessarily have a lot more information to go off this week, and I'll probably have to move one of them on this week. But, yeah, Wallace sort of 24 touches and a goal for only 82 points was a bit disappointing on the weekend. But, yeah, I had lots of big scorers. I had Heath Shaw, Tom McDonald, Alex Rance, Josh Gibson filling in my back line, Dangerfield, Delidio, Josh Kennedy, Ablett, Goldstein, Dane Swan, heaps of big scorers. And Brent Harvey was a sub, but I managed to get him on my bench for Jack Steele, who came through with 94 points. So good weekend all round, really, mate.
I unfortunately scored 200 points less, 24-54, slid backwards in a big week. I was just not... Brody Smith, I sort of feel like I should have just, you know, bit the bullet and traded him out a while ago because...
You do realize that I have Brody Smith as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely, but you've not had him since round 2, mate, so I can keep whinging all I want. You paid 7K more for him than he's currently priced at. I paid 490,000 for Brody Bloody Smith.
Yeah, that's season-defining right there.
Yeah, and then Clancy Pierce, the first time in a long while he's put in a stinker, so I'll take it, but it's a really bad one. 34 and he was subbed off.
Wow, 34.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
In a week where I had four backs score 119+.
Thanks, mate. You're doing a really good job with this running commentary.
Sorry.
No, awesome. And Oxley, I decided to keep him. And, you know, he ended the game with an out of bounds on the full, which is just bloody frustrating. Anyway.
You do have Luke Hodge in your back line. He did all right, didn't he?
Yes, 165. That was all right. But, you know, I didn't do the Oxley trade because I want Gablett in. So, sort of committed to Oxley maybe for the rest of the season, which is scary. But whatever. I want Gazza and he scored 153. So, I'm glad I have the extra trade to do it this week. And yeah, Jack Zeeble, 62. He's turned out to be in just god-awful pick.
Spud.
I mean, you were better off having Harvey be the sub because at least you got bloody Steele on field.
Yeah.
I mean, just painful.
Given their draw, and he hasn't actually got injured. I think we thought that that was the biggest risk with him. But I mean, his Dream Team scores have been really good. I've got him in Dream Team, but his Supercoach scores, so his disposal efficiency has just been terrible. Week after week.
Yep. And then Wallace, 82, still in my midfield. So, yeah, I've got some issues to fix. Hopefully, Wallace can become Ablett, and we'll see how we go.
You don't have Nick Nat, do you?
No, I don't. I have an emotional Sammy Jacobs, and fair enough, too. But in comparison, the 68, yeah, that's like half of what Nick Nat scored. So
Nick Nat's form has been spectacular over the last couple of months.
Yep.
And to think that so many people were considering trading him after like round 7 or 8, and then he has just gone nuts since then, which is what we're sort of hoping from him from the start.
This is painful.
Should we move on to the show, mate?
No, I do want to say congratulations, mate. Cracking the top 1,000 is a big achievement, and I'm happy one of us is in there, so well done.
That's pretty good, but I mean, we have been a bit higher in previous years, so I'm still hoping to move a bit further up.
Yeah, just bloody stay there, mate. Whatever you do, don't fall out.
God, now the pressure's on.
So we're headed to our league update now, and look, this has me in high spirits because...
Yeah.
Yeah, I can keep going with this for the rest of the season, and I think this is some sort of a record. It definitely is for us. I'm pretty sure it's an overall record. 10 of the top 20 leagues at the moment. I don't think I've ever seen that in any round before.
No, I think I've seen maybe 4 or 5 from one group, but certainly not 10.
Yeah, it's an amazing achievement.
Oh, God. You're reminding me of last year.
All right, look, I'm proud. 10's a lot, and that's half of the top 20 leagues at the moment. So well done to everybody out there. It's amazing effort. And the big league that helped us do it this week, we had Supercoach Coach FBD go in 2 spots to 19th.
But FBD means FB Donkey.
FB Donkey. But then the Supercoach Coach number 3, that was the real big mover, from 30th last week, crashed in 10 spots to finish in the top 20. So that really clinched the deal for us this week, and just beaming at the moment.
Well, I guess what that means is that even the coaches in our third ranked public league, the whole 18 of them are really sticking at it, which is great to see.
And Supercoach Coach number 4 is actually 8 spots higher at 12th at the moment. So they're really exceeding expectations. They're killing at the moment.
And Supercoach 1 has been second for quite a while now, and it was first before that.
So yeah, well done to everyone in the community. You guys are absolutely smashing it. And we'll just do a quick group update as well. My footy players and the big Ds, they tied for the top score. I checked, their teams aren't identical at this stage of the season, but 27-02. Massive, massive score. So well done to both of you. And then Cometti's Legion, 26-59. That's Coach. With that score, he's pushed himself up 14 spots to sit at 14th. So well done to you, Coach.
Wow, that's huge. 14th, that's almost in the running.
Very close. I think 300 points off the leader. So certainly in with a shot. And then we've got Travesty. He unfortunately had a quiet one, 23-48. So he's out to 18th now. Nate's Nags, though, your mate, Nate, 26-16.
Just behind me, mate. Mm-hmm. I actually played him in one of the leagues and beat him by 15 points. Woo!
He moved 18 spots anyway, so he must be pretty happy at 42nd. So back in the
top 50. Pretty consistent top 100 year from him, yeah. But would it be pretty fun to be in the top 100 for that long?
So don't forget, supercoachcoach.com.au/forums. Jump on there, have a chat. It's good to get as many of our podcast listeners on board. The big topic for this week is Gary Ablett, Mark. I know you already have him, and we did talk about him last week, but...
Yeah, that's last week's news, mate. If you're going to get him, you should have got him last week.
For us normies, apparently, we have to consider him this week. So that's the big topic for the week, and we're going to dedicate a majority of the show to it. So big thanks anyway to everybody who asked us questions on social media this week at SupercoachCoach on Twitter and on Facebook.com/SupercoachCoach. So we'll get straight into them this week with the rookies. First up, before we get into Gazza, who are the top downgrade targets this week or next? So we know we're going to need to downgrade to get Gary Ablett. He's at 670K. So most people are looking to cash in on a rookie this week. Mark, do you have anybody in mind?
Yeah, look, I think there is a couple of rookies available this week. Maynard in defense backed up his first game with a decent effort. And I know Broomhead is injured for about 6 weeks. I know that they're not a like-for-like swap, but it might help Maynard keep his spot in the team. And I know Collingwood have lost 3 games in a row, but they have played pretty well to lose those 3 games. So hopefully that bodes well for him as well. And I think the big rookie of the week is probably Caleb Daniel, who looks like someone that really stands out as a forward rookie. We've been praying for a forward rookie all year, and in the last few weeks we've finally got a couple in Jack Steele and Caleb Daniel.
Yeah, we've actually had 3 from the Dogs. We had Dale, McLean, and now Daniel. So hopefully Daniel actually works out okay.
I think Daniel's probably going to work out a bit better than Dale. McLean looked like he was going to be awesome, but unfortunately got injured.
Those are probably the best 2 options this week, and they're the only 2 on the bubble except for Downey in the ruck. So unless you're looking for a ruck downgrade, which is unlikely, Caleb Daniel and Maynard, best 2 rookies for the week. Keep it simple. Move to the back line now, and we're going to move to Dylan Thomas's question. What do we do with Brody Smith? Is Malcheski worth looking at after his 91? Mark, you just traded him in not too long ago. Would you consider trading him out?
No. Look, no, and especially not to Nick Malcheski, because, I mean, Malcheski has a bigger upside than Smith does, but... Malcheski has probably battled with fitness a little bit this year. I think that Malcheski is not necessarily a bad pick at his price. I just think that Smith to Malcheski seems very sideways, and there are probably doubts on both of them being able to average like real premium numbers this year. Look, I think Malcheski's had 2 good weeks in a row. He had 23 touches against North 2 weeks ago. Only scored 45 Supercoach though. despite scoring 72 Dream Team, but on the weekend had 18 possessions and 91 Supercoach. So look, you'd be hoping that that became a more regular thing. It wasn't a loss. I think that it looks all right. If he can stay fit, I think Malcheski's probably a pretty decent pick, especially at his price this week.
Don't mind Malcheski. Just the one thing that worries me is, like you said, this that injury history. When you're low on trades, I always say, you know, late in the season's not when you want to be trading in injury-prone players, because when they go down, you're just like, what do I do? Delete team.
Now, Malcheski's played 22 games each of the last 2 years, but before that, he had had a lot of injuries. I think he's had 3 knee reconstructions, and he has been out with a knee injury this year. Yeah, I mean, he's close to 30. That's reasonably concerning, I would think. And with the Suns looking to be out of contention and see that David Swallow's been put out for the rest of the year today, they want to get as many people on the park as possible, I guess, but they'll definitely be looking forward to getting all their players ready for next year rather than this year.
There's another cheap player who's actually got a high break even to look out for if anyone's looking for a cheap option. James Kelly, 362,000. He started as the sub this week, and so he only ended up with 57. Came on as the concussion sub at one point.
Yeah.
But the reason to look out for him is he got a 9 in that game before he got injured, and so he's going to be at rock bottom prices with a 149 break even. You know, he did have 7 out of his 8 scores were 80 pluses before he went down. He's not the best pick, but he is a cheap guy who is on the drop to look out for.
Someone that was in our starting side, mate.
Yeah.
I was in my starting side. The thing that worries me is in Real Dream Team, I have picked him up twice. I started him, traded him out because he got injured, brought him back in, and had to trade him out because he got injured. So that would concern me a little bit.
I think probably as much of an injury risk as Malcheski, unfortunately, but that tends to be the reason why they're so cheap. Anyway, we'll move on to the
Except for Brody Smith. Maybe he just sucks.
We'll move on to the midfield. King, Gary Ablett, Muddy Moose's questions first up. Finally moving on to Gary Ablett now. So is he worth reshuffling our teams for, Mark? We know how expensive he is. We know we're all low on trade. So this is a pretty kamikaze move for most people, but it looks like most are desperate to make it. You obviously, you know, proposed a pretty out there trade last week. You had some foresight there, mate. Obviously, you had a little bit of bank to allow you to be so brazen.
But I did actually plan for that the week before. So the week before Ablett came back and played his first game, I brought in McKernan instead of a more expensive dual position player, like a 500,000 sort of type. So yeah, I forecasted it before Ablett had even come back that I was going to need to do this. And I guess that might put me in a good position because it meant that I didn't have to go quite so low on trades, but I'm seeing a lot of people this week that are thinking of going down to 2 trades to bring Ablett in.
I had that same decision to make earlier on, Mark, and I chose Bontempelli over McKernan. So now I need to double trade, and that'll put me down to 3. So I think that's sort of the limit I'm willing to go down to. Yeah. That already feels pretty scary, but this is with Bontempelli on the bench or Zeeble.
Oh, please tell me you had Bontempelli on the bench and Zeeble on the field this week.
Nah, he was on field for me for Sloan, mate. So
damn.
My team is in tatters. Why are you guys listening to me? At least we got Mark on the show. Gary Ablett, though, big reshuffle. How many trades would you be happy to go down to shuffle him in?
I think 3 would be the real low limit, but more than that preferable. I think people going down to 2 to bring him in because they're doing a downgrade upgrade at this time of the year, it could definitely work out. If he goes nuts and he averages 135, it works out. But if he doesn't go completely nuts and he sort of has even a game of a 95 or 100 in the next couple of weeks, then probably won't have been worth it. So, look, it's a very risky play. I think that the fact that he scored big in his 2 games back means that we all just expect the 100% Ablett to be back, which might absolutely be the case. But, look, there's quite a lot of risks with it. And the fact that we're already seeing, I think we've seen Gibbs and Swallow both ruled out for the year in the last couple of days, there's a good chance that it's going to be like last year and there are going to be players ruled out for the rest of the year over the next few weeks from sort of teams that are struggling. So you're going to need trades as a result. So look, I mean, it's hard for me to say hold off when I was one that advocated last week going down to 3. I didn't quite go down to 3, but I might be doing that this week. But I think that there are some reasonable reasons just to hold off and it could easily work out either way.
Mark's just saying this now because he wants to be, you know, on a party unique bus of 1.
Yes, please.
But we are just rushing to get on the bandwagon. So, no. I think
me and our good mate Dead Sets, we both brought him in last week. So, yep, I'm happy just to run with that.
you're right to bring up the concerns, but I think that, you know, overall, I would be probably pretty aggressive about bringing him in, unless your bench is really, really thin. If you're really dealing with, like, every single bench position is already a donut, and you're trading your last bench position down just to bring in Gary Ablett, then probably hold off. But apart from that, I would probably be pretty aggressive about still bringing him in.
Look, I mean, there is no other player in the history of Supercoach that we would be having this discussion about, I don't think. It's just that Ablett has, for so long, just completely dominated this game and can be an absolute must-have, especially when it comes down to captain scores.
I mean, I reckon just on the podcast itself, mate, it'd be 10% of the entire podcast we've ever recorded spent discussing Gary Ablett in some way or another. That's how significant he's been.
Yep, pretty awesome, and it's fun to have him in your team. Jumped on the train after the Bombers game on the weekend and listened to it, and Ablett had the first centre clearance, and then I don't think anyone kicked it in between, and then he kicked the first goal, so that's just what Ablett can do.
I think it was encouraging that he laid a lot of tackles as well, so I think that's a big thing that everybody's also jumping onto, that even in the first game, he looked like he was doing well, but maybe still not going 100% with his tackles, but he laid something like 8 tackles on the weekend, which is great signs for Gaz.
So I guess you start thinking about who would you trade him out for. Do you trade JPK to Ablett if that's one of your options? Do you trade Fife or Pendles if that's your option because they're already sort of closer to Ablett in price? Or are you trading more of a Salwood, Lewis, Wallace type to him?
That sort of brings us to Adam's question, or Grievous131 on Twitter. For most people, to bring in Gazza, you'll need to give up a premium. I think if you look at the top end guys, Fife, Pendlebury, the guys who are already untouchables in terms of scoring, even after 280s from Fife, you wouldn't punt on them continuing on such a run of form just because they had a high price tag. I think you kind of want to be trading guys out that already have a reason to be traded out, like Selwood's not had the strongest season. I've got Wallace still on my team. Lewis maybe not the most consistent guy, Mark. I think those would be more the types of players I'd be looking to move on.
I mean, it's just tricky with those guys. Lewis is 458, so you're looking to get 220,000 to get Ablett, which is an insane amount of money to be trying to find this week, because most downgrade options aren't going to quite give you that much money. So yeah, not everyone's going to be in a position to be able to upgrade those guys all the way up to Ablett. Yeah,
if anything happens to Ablett's shoulder, you wouldn't want to have traded like Dangerfield or Fife or Pendlebury to him. I mean, even Beams and Hannabury, guys like that, would you? They're averaging, you know, 115 plus.
Yeah. No, I absolutely don't think so.
Yeah,
that I would be trading them. I think out of the lot, if you had to do it and you had a few trades up your sleeve, I think the Fife might be the one that you would potentially consider, just because his break-even is over 200 and he has come off two lower games. But I expect him to bounce back and still average 125. So you'd almost want to be getting a way to get him back in, because you might not be getting an upgrade by going Ablett over Fife.
If anybody has a unique premium that happens to be scoring really well recently, like Bernie Vince with a 167, he's only averaging 100, but he's priced at 592. If you have somebody like that, that's a good opportunity to trade them out at an inflated price tag.
Yeah.
All right, the next question is from Blair Dewsbury, and I think this is a great one because it's asking about whether or not it's worth burning the two trades for Gazza. Like you mentioned, Mark, the guys that we actually want to trade out are actually quite cheap, or playing it safe and using only one on a player like Rockliffe if you don't have him. So Rockliffe at 510, 126 on his return meant that he shot up 28K already, but he's still cheap as chips compared to how much Gazza costs.
I think that I definitely expect Rockliffe to average less than Ablett, and I don't think I'm going out on a limb by saying that.
Yeah.
Although Rockliffe, did he average more in the end last year? It was very close.
Yeah.
I think that you would have to expect to see a Rocky that we saw last year, not Rockliffe that we've seen this year so far. Rockliffe's got some excuses regarding injury for that, for how he's performed this year, but Brisbane are also struggling a fair bit, and he might be used a bit more in front of the ball than on the ball, potentially. At least that happened very early in the season anyway. Look, if you're getting low on trades, I think that there is a very strong case to be made for just using the one trade to get Rocky. So like a Wallace to Rockliffe rather than a double trade to get Ablett, I think that there's probably a lot of value in that, rather than going down to probably two trades. That does seem going too far to me to get Ablett.
Yeah. I agree with you there, Mark. Like I said, I think three is probably as far as I'd push it. That's why last week when you said you're going to three, I thought that's crazy, but that's still okay. Two just sounds...
Here we are a week later. Yeah. You guys are telling me I was crazy now. not so crazy.
I just wanted to wait a week because I think you going early was a bit crazy, but the 153 proved me wrong, hey? What do I know, Mark?
You know plenty, mate, just not this year.
The last one on the Gazza talk is, you did mention him, Selwood, but just go on him again because I've got a question here from David Bride on Facebook. Just because Selwood also got suspended for the one round, that chicken wing tackle did end up
dirty.
Sam Wright was like, he should get off too. Everybody said he should get off.
Footballer's code.
Fair enough. I thought that he couldn't see where the ball was, but...
Yeah, because his arm was in his way because he was lifting it backwards towards his face.
All right. It was a bad look. Anyway, he's out for the week, sadly for me. Then the terrible Selwood season continues, apparently. Yeah. So he's at 480,000,
which... Can you just remind me what you paid for him?
Paid $170,000 more, mate. I've just had a few season-defining players that have killed me, these so-called premiums.
I mean, I've got Jordan Lewis in my team. He's sucked, lost 170,000, but you don't see me crying, mate.
Yeah, well, I have enough of them. Like Brody Smith, too. I've got enough of them to hurt, mate.
Selwood to Gaz with 7 trades left. Where do I sign up?
Absolutely. If you've got as many trades as David does, that's a 100% go-ahead, especially if you have cash to do in one, brilliant.
Yeah.
Even in two, that'd be great. If it costs you 2 trades to trade Selwood to Gazza, how many trades would you want to still have in order to do that?
5 before you're trading. I think that you probably need to consider things a little bit differently if you are going for league results rather than overall. I really wouldn't want to go into the league finals with less than 4 trades, especially if you're top 4. If you're sitting top 4 and you're looking like a good chance of making the grand final, I think you really want 4 trades, so 1 trade each week during the finals, and maybe try and save 2 for the grand final if you can. If you're a little bit lower in the 8 and you really need to push for the top 4 or push to make the finals, then you can probably go a little bit harder and just hope for the best. But yeah, league teams should definitely be a little bit more reluctant to just keep trading.
100%, Mark. And last year, we definitely saw league finals just go absolutely crazy.
Our regular cash league, Marcus, that we run every year, that's a pretty big league. The 8th team won the grand final last year because they had trades.
Last question in the midfield from Thomas Goles, just to wrap it up. What to do with less than 3 trades left, Mark? So that's sad, unfortunately. Wallace, Cripps and Oxley are the 3 guys he's named that, you know, you could potentially move. I unfortunately face the same scenario, but with 3 trades left, surely just hold, right?
Look, it's a little bit tricky because I've got 4 and yet I'm strongly considering trading Wallace to Rockliffe. So that one trade, do I think it makes a difference? And if I had 3, would I be doing it? If I had 3, there's no way that I'd be making that trade. It's unfortunate to have Cripps, Wallace and Oxley all on the field. It's a big risk now, given what they've shown us in the last 2 weeks. But I guess if you go 3 or 4 weeks ago, they scored really well. So maybe there's still hope for them. And yeah, I think you're going to end up with a bunch of donuts if you go to less than 3 trades.
Agree with you, Mark. So we'll move on to the forward line now. Is it a good...
I have noticed that you are agreeing with me a little bit more that I'm now ranked top 1,000, mate.
Unfortunately, I think it's the right thing to do. I was fighting back for a little bit, but my team and my self-esteem has gone out
the
window.
It does feel that way. It does feel that way.
My super coach confidence is just like, what do I know now? Nothing's happening the way I expect it to. It's just complete madness. So, Jack Zeeble, what is going on with you? He's killing me, Mark. Killing me.
I think that realistically, 4 seasons in the top 500 for most of the time, it's in a row. It's not actually probably sustainable to actually do that every year. So you'd sort of do a bad season because there is a reasonable amount of luck involved in this game, mate. So don't get too down.
Well, all right. So I'll try and give a little bit more argument to our 2-person podcast then. No, Mark, you should trade with 3 trades left.
Just trade till they're gone. You don't have to worry about it anymore.
All right, onto the forward line now, Mark. And James Hawkins' question is up now. Is it a good time to pick up BJ Goddard? So you'd know best as an Essendon supporter. He's obviously cheap after the 30. His break-even still relatively high-ish at 134, but he's already dropped the 23K, so he's down to 450K right now. That's peanuts for BJ.
Yeah, I think he's a good pick at that price. He's going to have to play out the year. The Bombers are going to really need him. He's not going to get a tag because it'll always go to Heppel ahead of him. He would have been pretty disappointed with his effort against the Saints. I would be surprised if we see another effort like that from BJ this year. He is a pretty determined sort of bloke and very, very competitive. So I just don't see that happening again this year. And I don't expect massive things from him, but 450 is a pretty good price. I think the one you'd probably want to compare him to would be Bartel, who, what, he had 40 touches on his return game on the weekend. And he will be getting cheaper because still got a high break even this week. And he had the, I think it was a 4 when he got the knee injury early in the year. So yeah, I'd probably have Bartel ahead of Goddard, but not by a really long way. And you could pick up BJ this week.
Bartel dropped to about 450k. All right, last question here. And this one's pretty pertinent to me. Dan's question from Facebook. At this stage in the season, where do we look to upgrade positionally if we're running out of trades? He's looking between upgrading Wallace to a premium midfielder or Smith or Oxley to a premium defender. So I'm sort of in that situation at the moment. At the moment, I'm leaning toward Gablett because I sort of feel like go for the super coach God and sort of deal with Oxley. And that's why I kept him last week in the end. And so now I sort of feel because I kept Oxley that extra week, I'm priced in to do the Gablett trade. So that's probably where I sit on that. And maybe because you haven't locked yourself into a situation. What do you think?
I think that it sort of depends because it depends on the differences, really. Like, if, say, you predict that Wallace will average 95 from here on, but you, say, Ablett will average 130, well, there's 35 points difference. Say you think Oxley will average 80, but maybe Tom McDonald will average 95. That's only 15-point difference, but the Ablett trade cost you about 220,000 and maybe two trades, whereas the Oxley upgrade only costs you one trade and about 50,000. So I think that depends on how precious trades are to you. It depends on how precious money is to you. I would probably be more comfortable keeping... I actually don't know the answer to this question before I started talking.
It's hard.
It's very tricky because it really depends on what your projections are. I think that Oxley feels like he's going to score closer to a premium than Wallace does, but Wallace is still getting a bunch of the ball, and I think he maybe has a couple of big games still left in him. So it really depends what your predictions are on those guys. I think it's very line ball. I'd be more inclined to keep Oxley just because I think he can get closer to a premium average.
Maybe this would be easier first. Instead of Oxley to, you know, Primo defender in one or Wallace to Ablett in two, because all of a sudden that the variables are a lot harder there. What if it's Wallace to Rockcliffe as comparison to Oxley to McDonald or Pickin?
I think that's probably a no-brainer that it would lean towards doing the Wallace trade.
Okay. So in most situations, I do think that you're better off trading the midfielder. It just gets, like you said, complicated when you have to factor in the extra trade. But, you know, in that situation, you should probably be comparing Rockcliffe to Ablett and do I want to invest the extra trade in Ablett rather than comparing Ablett directly to trading in a premium defender instead, because that probably makes it a little bit more confusing.
Yeah. I guess, like, it might be the combination of is it Oxley to Hodge or Wallace to Ablett? Which one's more important there? They could both be 30-point difference.
And, I mean, Pickin keeps going. Another big score on the weekend, 138. Yeah. Jeez.
That's crazy. He's just playing as a pure midfielder and completely dominating this year, and pretty big change-up. He did play a few games like that last year, but went back to the tagging role. But this year, I guess, they've lost Griffin and Libra and Cooney, and there's a bit more space for him in the midfield to run through.
Three weeks ago, Mark, I had the money to trade Oxley to Pickin, and I had the trade button ready to go, and I was like, nah, chickened out, no.
You're pickened out.
That's great, I like that. All right, mate, that's probably about it for this week. I just want a little bit of help specifically for my team now before I go. If you were me and you had Selwood, Wallace, and Sloan, is it an easy decision for you?
Yes, Sloan goes.
Sloan goes?
I looked at today's updated injury list and he was still listed as... I thought it was 4-6. Did it come down to 3-5?
It came down to 3-5, mate. Oh, making progress. Okay.
Yeah, I think it is. It's still an easy decision. At this stage of the year, it's very hard to trade out fit bodies for people that aren't fit. And say Sloan gets on the bench carrying him and then you get 1 week injuries this week, right? Then all of a sudden, how do you cover from your bench? It really just tests the depth of your bench so strongly, like really quickly if you start getting injuries. So, yeah, I think Sloan's the one to go, mate.
So sad.
Watch him come back in 3 weeks and just dominate and score 115 or something.
Literally, every time I finally decide to pull the trigger, that sort of thing happens. I think it happened to Kel. It's just been nonstop. So, all right, thanks for that advice anyway. I probably should take it, knowing your record against mine this year, but I'll have a little bit of a think anyway. All the best for you this week, mate. Hopefully, you continue to push up into the top 500. That'd be sweet.
Yeah, I think I've still got a bit of work to do to get up there at 874. I'd be happy just to consolidate in the top 1,000 this week, hopefully.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I've got a much more modest top 5,000 goal.
You can
now
do it, buddy. Yeah. You can do it.
Thanks, mate. Thank you.
I'm not expecting McDonald 141, Rance 154, Gibson 131 very often. So, yeah, I'll take that one while I can.
I was considering Gibson last week. Gosh, wish I did that now.
I remember we were discussing Rance a couple of weeks ago when I brought him in and...
Wussed out. So I think I'm priced into Ablett now. I've got to keep this Oxley. I'm too sold down the river now. With that, we'll catch you guys next week and hopefully I can turn things around. See ya.
Good luck, mate. See ya. Yeah.